Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter the world of the unknown. There is a silent, invisible world that surrounds us all. A world we don't understand. A world that we wish to understand. And on Paranormal Horizons, we're going to explore this and hopefully get some answers. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, here with Sherry Pang for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. This is episode 234. How's it going, Sherry?
Pretty good. How are you, Jason?
Not too bad. We were talking a little bit before the show. I feel kind of icky, but other than that, everything seems to be going okay. How's your week?
Very good. It's been really, really busy. No kidding. It's been busy with just readings, and it's hopping. I'm really excited, and I feel very, very blessed. So, yeah, everything's going really well, and I don't have any complaints, and, you know, I'm starting out the new year, and I just don't know. And everybody is, it's really a new year, and yesterday was the new moon. So for those who don't know, but I had my second radio show or my first official, I don't know, my introduction, I don't know if I call that a first episode, but my second show, we had Andrea Perone on my show yesterday, and it was very, very cool. She's always a delightful person to talk to. She's a wonderful, beautiful soul and a wonderful friend. I have nothing but good things to say about her, but We were going under the calendar after talking to her this morning or yesterday. My mind's going into a blank, but she's on tonight. Oh my gosh, she's on tonight again. So it's like, wow, this is so cool. So good to have her on a back-to-back show. It's awesome. But those who don't know, my new show is called what is it called? Oh my gosh, Portals. Portals to Enlightenment, the journey of body, mind, and spirit. And you can listen to all the different podcasts, major podcasts, and from, you know, iTunes, Alexa, Amazon Prime. You can go under Spotify, Pandora, all these major ones. So you can listen to me, just Google or type in Portals to Enlightenment. So, yeah, it'll be our second show from Andrea last night at 5:30. So just go ahead and tune in. But tonight she's going to be on again. And no telling what we're going to talk about, but she's probably in queue, right, Jason?
She sure is. We'll bring her on right now.
Yeah.
Hi, kids.
Hi. Hey. Hi, Andrea. Welcome back.
Hi.
How are you doing, girl?
I'm a little unhinged. I'm a little unbridled. When I get this tired, anything could come out of my mouth. I'm just warning you in advance.
It's okay. You're safe with us.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was a long day. I got up at 5:30 this morning. I left Georgia at noon. I got back to Winter Garden, Florida at 6:30. Thankfully, my father had a lovely dinner waiting for me. I was ravenous. Oh, excuse me. And then I answered, I don't know how many messages. And I finally, when my eyes crossed and I could not see anymore, I laid down and took a nap for an hour. And so now I'm, I won't say refreshed because, well, let me put it to you this way. I said, Dad, do not go to bed until you see me up, standing upright out of my own. And so he came sheepishly knocking on what I affectionately call the West Wing. Are you okay? Are you doing all right? Are you, Are you awake yet? I'm like, yeah, I'm up. I'm up. I stood up so that I could absolutely know that I was up. And now I'm here. I am with you tonight. And it's always a pleasure. It's always a joy to be with you, always.
That's
it's wonderful.
Wonderful
to get you
we'll
on.
We'll hang in there for the next almost hour. We can just let it go and see where we go. But
yeah.
We want to tell our listeners that Andrea has a new release. I think it's already on Amazon. Is that correct?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Not the most auspicious launch for the new book. Amazon put up, with my permission, put up a placeholder through my publisher when I submitted all my work to my publisher, and we put it up for 11-11-11, which you know numerologically is the gateway.
Oh, yeah.
It's got all kinds of powerful energies around that, and I was so thrilled, and I knew that it wasn't ready yet. I mean, it has taken longer to lay the book out than it actually took to write it. But I'm very meticulous. I'm a stickler for detail. I want it to be perfect because that's how much I admire and adore my readers. They deserve my best effort, absolutely, all the time. And so, you know, I change this, you know, move that here, take this and knock it from this page to that page. I work very closely with my publisher. And that's why I'm with my publisher, because I can do exactly as I please. This book is a true reflection of myself as an individual and also a testament to my readers, too. As far as I am concerned, it's for each one of them personally. You know, it matters to me that much. And so we had this thing. I posted on Facebook yesterday, me looking up into the universe saying, and this had to happen, why? And then, of course, the universe laughs at me, and at which point I say, I can hear you, and and I say, don't test me. And the response is, it's too late. So anyway, what happens is because the manuscript was not completely laid out from my publisher yet, they put a placeholder in my book. So on Amazon, it shows as my book cover, but inside it is, in a flicker, my last book that I wrote with George Lopez. So as the time approached for the launch and we realized we weren't going to be quite done with it, my publisher contacted Amazon and said, kick that date back a little bit and give us time to finish laying this thing out. You know, basically, I don't know verbatim what they said, but, you know, that was the gist of it. And they're like, yeah, sure, no problem. Well, as soon as the date actually came, which was December 24th, which was Christmas Eve, of course, they started printing hundreds of books with my new cover and my old book inside it.
Oh, no.
And sent them
wow.
out all over the freaking world. Yeah.
That's terrible. How did that get resolved?
Well, of course, Amazon will make it good. I mean, they've already sent out apology emails, and you can send it back. And as soon as they go live with the new manuscript, we'll send you the new book, yada, yada. I can't tell you how many people have contacted me and said, I'm keeping this book. Because, I mean, as soon as we understood what was happening, as soon as people started contacting me saying, I think there's been some mistake, I immediately contacted my publisher, who immediately contacted Amazon. And so they pulled it from the website until they could stop the bleeding, you know? And so there are probably several hundred books with my new cover and my old story, our old story that George and I wrote about Jack the Ripper inside my book about UFOs. So most of the people that have gotten them are like, I'm not sending this back. They'll just shred it. This is a collector's item. If I send it to you in the mail, will you sign it? I'm sure. Okay.
That's what I was thinking. It's like a misprint from like the U.S. Mint, you know. It's totally
yes,
a collector's
like
item
the
now.
Ultimate. Yes, the ultimate misprint. So this is what I do yesterday. The day before, I called George up and I said, George, I found a new way to promote in a Flickr.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Wow.
My God. Oh, my God. You know, and he's like, oh, yeah, way to go, Ann. Two birds, one stone. You know, it's like, oh, God, why did this have to happen? You know, if I had, and I couldn't have worked any harder. I couldn't have worked any longer. It's just not possible. You know, I just want it to be perfect and beautiful. And when you see it, when you see the layout and the work that they've done, you will be so, so impressed. It really is aesthetically. It is one of the most beautiful books that I have ever seen. And I've still got a little bit more to go through after all that we've been through, after everything, all the eyes that have been on this manuscript. I found a typo last night at midnight. I had the word, yes, I found past tense of agree. And it was in, it was agreed, and the D did not belong on the word. I was like, oh, my God. How many eyes have been on this? And how did we miss this? So, of course, naturally, I fixed it. people don't know what goes in. You know, you can go into a bookstore, and you can pick up a book, and you can buy a book and read your book, and that's it. You know, you've made your connection with the author, and you feel the material and it leaves an impression on you and all of that. People have no idea what goes into publishing a book. Now, because of the nature of this book, you know, when I went to publish House of Darkness, House of Light, my trilogy, I was, I had to publish it independently because every trade publisher that offered to buy it wanted to own it and change it any way they wanted. And under no circumstances was that going to happen. And at the time I was a new author, so I had no clout. I had no way of saying, well, you know, you can't change this and you can't change that. I was just like, thank you, but no thank you. And so I published it through Author House, and again, was able to work very closely with my layout designer, the artistic department, the photographs, the everything. I worked closely with them. But that's a huge, huge company, and it just seemed to take forever. And now I'm with Gatekeeper Press out of Columbus, Ohio, and it's a smaller, more intimate, like family feeling with this. And I work even more closely with them. I mean, I work direct the owner of the company. And
wow.
Yeah, and I love them. I mean, they're really like my extended family. These people are wonderful. And they have as much of a vested interest in this book being as spectacular as I do. You know, I mean, it's their, the way they feel about it is it's their logo on it. You know, if they're going to put it out, they want it to be perfect too. So we've worked diligently, relentlessly, and sometimes the slightest, most subtle, most nuanced change can make a big difference in a book. And so we're really close to being done now. And of course, Amazon had to push it back, and they're waiting now to be told when they can end up, and they're going to have to eat their mistake. If anybody sends those books back, you know, they're going to have to make it right. And they already know that, and they've already sent apology emails out to everybody. But still, it was just the strangest thing to happen. And it's because corporate America is just so huge that, you know, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. They were told in advance by more than 2 weeks told in advance that it wasn't going to be ready for a Christmas Eve launch, that it just wasn't going to be quite ready yet. We still had some more photographs to insert. A couple of them did not reproduce as well as I had hoped. I had to choose others, and they had to lay those out and then send me the proof to see if those worked, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And this book, when I first wrote it, I wrote the bulk of it over about 3 weeks. It was, oh gosh, in my Word program, it was almost 200 pages. Well, by the time I was done, it's 475 pages. Yeah.
It takes a lot of self-discipline to be able to write a book. I've always wanted to write a book, and I can't make it past 2 or 3 pages before I lose interest and do something else. It's a real skill. I mean, Mom's a writer, and I don't know how she does it.
Well, it's just countless, endless hours of self-imposed solitude. You know, I become a recluse. I just spend countless hours alone in the man cave working at the computer. But this book is different. It really is, because this, you know, no trade publisher would have ever touched this. Let me put it to you that way. It's extremely provocative. And they would just, you know, I mean, they're publishers, but they're also fear-based carbon units. And, you know, nobody was going to touch this. I had to publish this independently. I had to, and my publisher, I love them. They're just wonderful people. But they have the complete faith and confidence in me. They're not afraid to publish this. And there are stories. Well, let me put it to you this way. There isn't another book on the planet like this book. I opened a vein. I went back all the way to my childhood to share every major encounter that I have ever had with extraterrestrials across the course of my lifetime. And it has been, it's been a real blessing. And it's also been a relief to share it in such a personal way. And in fact, when the book is released, it will be released under the heading of memoir. So this is the real deal. This is the truth of my existence. But there's one chapter in it called Truth Will Out. And while I was writing the book, and I had an awful lot of help from, you know, the Galactic family, they were like, you know, make sure you include this and make sure you include that and don't forget this and don't forget that. But it one night I was sitting out here in August of last year. It was before I went up to Sault Ste. Marie for the Upper Peninsula Michigan Paracon. And I was just sitting out here on my terrace. And all of a sudden, I had this epiphany of, you know, I'm not the only one who's had these experiences. I have gobs of friends who have had close encounters, who have had sightings, profound life-altering events occur to them. I wonder if they'd be willing to share it. Yes, they've shared it with me, and they trust me because they know I never shared it beyond, you know, it's their story to tell, not mine. You know, so they knew that they could trust me when they told me, and they knew that it would not go any farther. But I started making phone calls and sending emails to people who I know personally and have known for a long time, who have had experiences and contact of their own. And I think I asked, maybe 15 or 16 people if they would be willing to write, a testament, just a vignette, something about their experience that I could include in the book. And single one of them said yes, every single one of them. And the whole entire chapter is the essays that have been written by my personal friends from around the world that have been up close and personal with extraterrestrials.
So when you're reading through all those essays, do you notice certain commonalities between the experiences?
That's an excellent question. And yes, very much so. And in much the same way that people who have experiences with spirits It seems like there's just certain ways that they can manipulate energy and certain ways that they can manifest and then other ways that they cannot. So I've noticed over the course of the decades of my research that there have been actually many, many people who have had experiences quite similar to our own at the farm. And it wasn't until after I wrote the trilogy that I started really delving deeply into this. And my sister Cindy did too. My sister Cindy started really researching because she wanted to see if there was anybody else out there who had a story as phenomenal as our own. And she was amazed how many people had very similar experiences. And very often it was with prepubescent children, a lot of energy in the house, and almost always with a, you know, a parental unit father figure who could not accept and did not believe what was happening in the house and didn't support the rest of the family unit until it began happening to them. So I thought that's, you know, that's been a really fascinating element of my research over the years.
It's amazing of the experiences people have. I know I've had mine, you know, with the whole UFO thing, and I don't really research the subject as much as I should, but I always imagine that my experiences probably, I'm probably not the only one that have had experiences like mine. I imagine there's other people out there, but I've never connected. I guess I've really never had a desire to connect with other people over it. I probably should.
Well, you know, Jason, there's a lot of people that have had experiences that don't want to connect with other contactees because they're afraid to have what they, let me put it to you this way. They can dismiss it as a dream. They can dismiss it as, you know, just an anomaly. They can dismiss it as, oh, that's just my imagination, unless somebody else validates it for them. And
yeah.
Says, oh, yes, the exact same thing happened to me. And then it's like, oh, whoa, wait a minute here, you know. And so it's like, oh, God. I hate to say it because the word has such a negative connotation. But in this particular incident, ignorance can be bliss. You know, the less you know, the better, you know. And it's just because they're afraid that, you know, in the same way that I feel like, you know, people who are detractors of our story, they're just scared to death that we're telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They're scared to death. And so the best thing for them to do in order to make themselves feel better is to say, oh, that's a big fat lie. You know, oh, sure. Yeah, because I stayed tethered to a screen and a keyboard for 7 years of my life during the prime of my life to concoct one big, fat, elaborate lie that I then made my entire family memorize so that we were completely consistent in our lie over the course of 4 decades of our lives. Oh, sure. Now, you tell me what's more plausible, that ghosts exist or that we made it up?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to have a story over, you know, 40 years. You know, I think that in itself adds credibility to it.
Well, it's the credibility that I think that some people really do fear because they fear the unknown. And what I try to tell people as I travel around the country and introduce them to the galactic family is it's the fear itself is your enemy, not them. You know, it's your lack of knowledge about them and lack of interaction with them that keeps you fearful. And once you make contact and you feel that intense love and you feel that personal connection with sentient, prescient beings that circumnavigate the globe, it changes everything. And I think that's what people are most afraid of, is that it is going to change everything. And if there is one thing that human beings abhor, it's change. And yet that is the structure and the nature of the universe. The universe is in constant expansion, constant flux, constant change. No 2 milliseconds are exactly alike. We are the product. We are from the moment we are conceived, we are in perpetual change as our cluster of cells grows into a human being, and then we come into the world, and then, you know, every 7 years, every single cell in your body is different than it was 7 years ago. It's been, you know, it died, it's been shed, and another one has been regenerated. You know, that is the nature of existence, is perpetual, constant change. And yet when people are faced with the necessity to change their mind or change their perspective or expand their consciousness around a particular subject, they recoil in fear because they are now delving into something that is unknown. And the only way that it can be known to them is for them to delve in. I mean, if you started researching today, right now, at your age, Jason, you would have to live five lifetimes in order to just assimilate the information that exists to this moment about extraterrestrials. So don't worry about researching. Worry about, and don't worry about anything. Don't worry about researching. The research is done. The truth is out there. It's done. It's a given. They're here. They're here in numbers that we can't wrap our minds around. So that said, seek the experience. Seek the empirical evidence of contact, of personal connection, because the rest of it is, for all intents and purposes, it's hearsay.
And I suppose a lot of people are fearful, too, because our minds are reinforced with all these movies of alien invasions, you know, Independence Day and that sort of thing. That probably doesn't help reinforce people's fears about ETs.
No, it's what Hollywood does. You know, they just prey on people's deepest, darkest emotions. And I get it, I suppose. Well, I really don't get it. I really don't. I'll never understand that element of humanity. But there are some who are really, truly authentic in their treatment of the subject matter. And Steven Spielberg is at the pinnacle of that. You know, what he produced with Close Encounters and E.T. Are as close to a documentary as you're going to find about UFOs. I mean, in terms of Paul Hellyer, the former defense minister of Canada, said that Close Encounters is, for all intents and purposes, a documentary, but that the exchange that occurs at the end of the film didn't occur at Devil's Tower, Wyoming. It occurred at Area 51. It did happen. And the last of the pilgrims that came back, not all of them came back. One of them died off-planet from too much radiation because the radiation level where they were was much higher than Earth. One of them fell in love and stayed behind on purpose. And then the rest that came back, I think the last one died in 2010 right here in Florida at the Villages, at the retirement community. Came back and had spent 10 years, 13 years on another planet.
How did that information come out? I haven't heard of this before.
That, really?
Check out
Paul Hellyer. He was given a whole bunch of information. He was the defense minister of Canada while Canada was consolidating its armed forces, and worked very, very closely with the United States Air Force, and had inside access to a great deal of information. And when he was about 89 or 90, he spilled his guts. He told it all, everything that he had been informed about. He's just a wealth of information, and I guess he just finally got to the age where he said, I don't care, what do I have to lose? You know, this message is more important than anything that could be done to me for speaking out. And in recent years, you know, I mean, we've had many of our own astronauts step up and say, yeah, we are not alone in the universe, not by a long shot. And this is not fair to keep from the population of the world. This is information that must be imparted to the world. Well, one of them was Dr. Edgar Mitchell, Buzz Aldrin, Lieutenant Colonel Corso. I mean, the list is actually quite long of so-called whistleblowers that have exposed what has, I think, truly been the worst-kept secret of the 20th century and the biggest revelation of the 21st century, because as of December of 2017, we now have official disclosure. And it was done in such a discreet way. Well, actually not in a discreet way. I mean, it was splashed across the as a headline in the New York Times, and then all the major media outlets begrudgingly picked it up after they vetted the story. And this came directly from the Department of Defense. And the film footage of the chase that ensued from what they call a UAP, unidentified aerial phenomenon off the USS Nimitz that was sailing off of San Diego at the time. And they saw an object that was moving faster than anything that is manufactured on this planet. And it went from 60,000 feet to 60 feet above the ocean surface in a split second. And, of course, being an aircraft carrier, they sent out a reconnaissance. They wanted to know what they were following, what they were watching, what they were seeing. And when they got to the place where on their radar, this thing had dropped to the surface of the ocean, the film footage shows only trembling water. The vessel was completely cloaked, but you could see the vibrations that it was making on the surface of the water. And wow. This was all put out in December of 2017, and there was no reaction to it. Now, I don't know if people thought it was fake news, if it was just a made-up story. I don't know what they thought or they didn't think. You know, I'm sure there were a number of people that just, you know, looked at the news report and said, well, finally. But most people just, I think, took it in silently and didn't have any kind of overt reaction to it. So what I said, I made a video to help guide people through this strange time, this paradigm shift that we're living through. And, you know, I myself was shocked that there wasn't some kind of global response to this declaration that we have all been screaming for and waiting for decades, you know, disclosure, disclosure, disclosure. We finally get it and everybody falls mute, you know, and
That's the way I looked
at it is that I thought of it as a ruse, and I still do think that, you know, this is this little tiny crumb that they give us. And, you know, here you go. Here's your disclosure. Okay, there you go. Well, what's really happening, this was a moment of here, look over here. Look here. Don't look over there because we don't want you to see what's going on over there. We want you to look here. And so I really think that that's what's going on. There's stuff happening right now that the vast majority of humanity is not aware of, but they will be. And so I take some solace in that, that they will be. And I believe that just by having the galactic presence around this planet and the millions and millions of people that have already connected with them is part of what is raising the vibration of this entire planet so that we can extricate ourselves from the mess that we've made and remake humanity into something that it should be, instead of what it is right now, which is a completely self-destructive, self-loathing expression of ignorance, complete, utter, total ignorance. You know, I mean, we kill each other as a matter of course. I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of the film that has been taken in Yemen. But what's happening in Yemen right now is an international crisis. And instead of being part of the solution, the United States is a big, huge part of the problem. Because the weapons that are being used to wipe out the civilian population of an entire country are being manufactured in this one and sold to Saudi Arabia.
Uh-huh.
That's one of about a billion problems that are going on this planet right now. You know, and I try so hard to keep, you know, the big picture in mind. But what's happening in Yemen right now makes the famine in Ethiopia look minor in comparison. This is genocide. It's happening right now. And I have to ask, when will we ever learn? When will we ever learn? Why are we in bed with a Saudi prince who just ordered the murder of a Washington Post journalist and is getting a pass on it from the White House? How is this even happening? How is this even happening? You know, this is we're at point critical. We are, humanity is at critical mass. And what's happening with this globe, this beautiful, pristine, lovely rock hurling through space, is close to being irreparable because of the damage that we've done. And if we do not change our mind, change our perspective, and change our behavior, Earth will continue to survive. She will just wipe out the pestilence upon it. And we are the pestilence upon it.
I can see that. I mean, the only way I see that the global consciousness improving is some sort of worldwide disaster. There's too much ego and greed in the world to, it's just going to get worse. I just don't see it changing unless something major happens.
Well,
on a global scale,
major is happening on a global scale is happening right under our noses. All we need to do is look up, because they are here and they care very much about our health and our well-being and our survival. They also care about what we do to this planet, because all the dimensions are correlated and integrated. So every time we blow off an atomic device on this planet, we're also harming someplace else in the universe without even realizing it. But they know. They know. They came in droves 77 years ago when we started blowing off hydrogen and atomic bombs on this planet. If they were able to get here, they came. And, you know, I don't even call them, you never hear me say them, call them aliens, because they are no more alien to this planet than we are.
Absolutely. Do you feel like the astronauts actually landed on the moon, or what's your feeling on that, Andrea?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, I really do. I know several astronauts personally. And two of them that actually walked on the moon. You know, the conspiracy theories around that are ludicrous. I mean, these people obviously have too much time on their hands. You know, it's this was a major, major accomplishment. But what I will tell you is that we were on the moon before we were on the moon. I will tell you that. Before
I've been watching,
humanity knew about it. Yeah.
I've been watching these documentaries. It's a conspiracy theory that we ever were on the moon. And I have to say, when you watch these documentaries, they seem pretty convincing. I mean,
yeah,
just for an average lay person. But I don't really have an opinion on it. I don't know. You know, I could see it go either way.
Yeah. Well, I never had the opportunity. I've had the opportunity to speak at length with Buzz Aldrin. I've had the opportunity to speak at length with Edgar Mitchell. May he rest in peace. What a loss for humanity the day that man left us. and several others, people that have explored space, shall we say. And there is no question in my mind, you know, I mean, yeah, it makes for good Hollyweird. You know, Capricorn 1 was a good movie. You know, as a fine theory for film, in the same way that Independence Day is, you know, a feel-good movie. Oh, we blew them all away and we took our planet back. And, you know, it's like, it's all grade school stuff. And I'm talking about postgraduate studies here.
The bigger picture.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Andrew, who inspired you to write your book, your latest book?
They made me. That's really the honest answer. They made me do it. They made me do it. I had an experience last May that so profoundly changed me that I just started making lots of notes, you know, whether it be on napkins in restaurants or whether it be on, you know, little shards of paper hanging around on my desk. And I kept getting blasts of memories, very detailed memories of experiences that I've, you know, had, you know, a couple of years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years, 10, 20, 30, and started writing everything down. And when I did, they just forced me to push my work aside and write this book. I was supposed to do this. I was supposed to. And so now I've done it, and I feel very accomplished. But really, the credit goes to them. I was the conduit. I was the one who just did the physical labor. But they have gifted me with so many incidents of contact over the course of my life and reminded me time and time again of the details of all of it. It's a story that whose time has come. You know, the title of the book is A Wonder to Behold, but the title could be Disclosure. We are the point of disclosure, the credible people with incredible stories. We are the ones. We are the point of disclosure. We can't rely on the government to tell us the truth. They're pathological liars. You know, they have reasons for doing what they're doing, and part of the reason that they're doing it is they're trying to maintain some semblance of power when essentially they have no power at all. I think on some rudimentary level they must understand that they are powerless, even if it's subconsciously so, but on the surface, they're trying to, you know, be the collectors of and the keepers of the secrets. That's only going to last just so long. So much of it has already escaped. It's just a matter of time before everything is out. And, of course, other governments are putting a great deal of pressure on this government as well because they are releasing what they have in their UFO files, including the United Kingdom. And they started about 3 years ago, maybe a little longer, and they're releasing everything they have into the public domain. And they're doing it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And it'll still take another year or more for all of it to be out. Can you imagine how much information they're releasing? Can you even imagine? You know, and that's just the UK, and Australia's doing it, and many, many other countries are doing it. A lot of countries in South America are releasing what they've got, you know, what their military has, and, you know, but Russia's still hanging on to their information like it's in a steel vault, and the United States is doing the same. And sorry, kids, but you're late to the party. You know, this information is already out. It's out in cosmic consciousness. I mean, if you're willing to meditate and tap into it, you can see what's going on in the universe right through your own mind's eye. I know that sounds kind of woo-woo, but it really isn't. I mean, we're all there's, you know, one divine mind that we all tap into. We each have our own individual brain units, but mind and brain are separate, distinct from each other. You know, one is not the other. Your mind is not physically in your brain. Mind is something else entirely. It's the life force in the universe.
Well, maybe we are starting to see a shift of, you know, with the information coming out, maybe this is the beginning of where the truth is publicly, you know, the public is made aware of what's really going on. Do you think that the government, the U.S. government, has the same level of knowledge you do? In terms of,
oh, they know way more than I do. Oh, no, they know way, way more than I do. Yes. You know, and I know a lot. I know a lot compared to, you know, the average person walking down the street, you know, because I've been steeped in this for decades of my life. I was a ufologist before that word existed. But still, what they've got compiled is mind-boggling. And so I think that they're probably... they're afraid that people aren't going to be able to handle this. And so it's put out in dribs and drabs incrementally for, you know, a few thousand people to pick up here and a few thousand people to pick up there. And, you know, they treat us like babies. Like, you know, here, we're going to spoon feed you a little bit of this. And if you can digest this, then we'll give you another bite. And I think that it's an insult to human intelligence to treat us in this respect. And it's the reason why, you know, I'm really rough on the government in this book. In fact, I sent it to a very close friend of mine who's a researcher, and she wrote back and she said, "This is absolutely brilliant, and I'm worried about you. I'm worried for you. I'm scared for you when you publish this book." And I said, "I'm not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm not. I'm just not." You know, I've been on the government's radar for a very long time, and they leave me alone. You know, I'm small fry to them. There are people who are doing work in this field who they might legitimately feel threatened by. And I know these people, and I know what work they're doing. And I know how they're, you know, I mean, Steve Bassett has been banging down the halls of Congress, the doors of the halls of Congress, for many years, trying to get this out in a way, you know, hashtag disclosure and all of that. I mean, he puts it on the line every single day. He's right there in Washington doing his thing. I have great, enormous admiration for him. But, you know, my co-author on In a Flicker, George, you know, he's like, "Annie, quit beating the drum, because you're never going to get what you want or you need from the federal government. They're not going to disclose. And so stop frustrating yourself and being angry about it, because there's just no point. They're not going to do it until they are literally forced to do it. This isn't going to be voluntary." And so, I came to the conclusion that George was right, and that we, the individuals who have had these profound experiences, have to be the point of disclosure. Each and every one of us has to speak our truth, and to do so, even if our voices tremble, to just tell what we know and what we've experienced, because in doing so, it gives others the freedom. It liberates others to speak their truth. You know, they feel like, well, if she can do it, then I can, you know, oh, I guess this is okay to talk about now. You know, yes, it is. Talk about it. Share what you've experienced. And don't worry if people are going to think you're nuts or you're not, because chances are really good that you disclose personally to someone who's had an experience of their own and have been terrified to talk about it. And you know, we could be talking about ghosts and have this exact same conversation. Now, that was one of the things that was most powerful about the trilogy, is people who have read it have, I mean, I have thousands of letters from people who have read it and said, you know, I was I had this thing happen to me when I was a kid, and it's kind of what led me into all my curiosity about the paranormal. And I never told anybody in my family, and I grew up and I got married. I didn't even tell my spouse. And then I read your books, and now I tell everyone, because it seems to just be that extra dose of bravery that they need. You know, I guess they figure if my family can spill our guts, then it's okay for them to do the same thing. And that's a lot of what I focus on in terms of the new book, is not only are your own personal experiences truly significant, but when you start to read about other people having similar experiences and you get that personal validation through the words that you're reading and through their disclosure, it justifies you spilling your guts, you know. It justifies your personal disclosure, and it seems to embolden and provide, you know, that little extra bit of courage for people to get out and speak their truth as well. And this is a gradual process. This isn't going to happen, you know, automatically overnight. It's happening a little bit at a time. But ultimately, when we do look at the big picture and we look at all of humanity, one race, one brotherhood, one sisterhood, and we understand that our globe is completely and utterly surrounded by sentient, prescient beings who have our best interest at heart, it will change the world. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't want to be here anymore, because this swamp that we are living through right now, this needs to be cleansed and healed. And we need to be the positive forward momentum to make that happen.
I'm totally with you on that.
Now, I agree with you.
Now, we do have a caller. Are you open to take a question from a caller?
Absolutely.
We are we're running short on time, but I'll bring this caller on right now. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello? Who's this?
Welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Oh, hey. Thank you. Man, I can totally relate. I know as a child I've been traumatized. Even as an adult I've been traumatized. It doesn't take a book. It doesn't take seeing a movie. It doesn't take listening not only to other people's experiences, but it does take the time to recognize and to know that the short time we do have here on this earth, there is people that care. And I just wanted to say thank you so much to not only you guys who actually the time to put people on the air to listen, but also to take the time to put people on the air to let them know what it takes to keep moving on. Thank you so much, Paranormal Horizons.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. You're very welcome. And may we continue. Jason and I were talking about tonight, even though I'm stepping back a little bit to continue with my radio show, Portals to Enlightenment, but Maria is going to take my spot, but I'm still going to be appearing once a month on Paranormal Horizons, and we just really appreciate just your support and Andrea's and everybody that's been on, very much so. From the bottom of our heart, we appreciate you. It's you guys that make the show, not us.
Yeah, I
agree.
I mean, what would be the point of us doing this if there was nobody out there that was tuning in and turning on to this message? You know, we're all in this together. We are all in this together. Let's make no mistake about it. We go down together or we rise up together. And so if we didn't have an audience, you know.
I can't fathom why, if here we are just, you know, sharing information or, you know, giving out information or whatever, and you guys are under the radar. I just don't get it. Why? I mean, there's so many different things that are more important, like pedophiles, people that are, you know, murderers and things like that, that are unjust. What is this? I just can't fathom. People that are cruel to animals. I mean, those are the things that they need to focus on, not people that are interested in the paranormal or the UFO or things like that.
I think people that are forward momentum, who are forward thinking people, who dare to push the envelope or shred the envelope, are the cutting edge of the forward momentum. And I encourage and admire anyone who's willing to stand up and speak their truth to power.
That's true.
And,
wow.
Well, we try to
get the message out there.
I mean, even if it reaches one person and it changes one person's perspective, it's all worth the time and effort that we all put in to this show.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And that's why, you know, even though you're West Coasties, I stay up till 11. Well, I'm always up this time anyway, you know, to do this show over and over and over again, because I'm reaching an audience. I'm reaching your audience personally, interacting with your audience through your show and my personal connection to both of you. And I find that very powerful. I always say yes to the universe, but I particularly say yes to my friends. And the two of you have proved to be wonderful friends, very supportive, and truly encouraging of my work. And you're part of the reason that I can dig deep and find the courage that I do something as provocative as this book, because I know that I've got people out there who have my back. And I appreciate both of you very much.
Wow. Yes, you do. 100%, girl.
Yeah, we appreciate you wholeheartedly. You're one of my favorite guests. And the subject matter, as you know, is my favorite. Extraterrestrials or light beings. I love it. I eat it up. And it helps me with my, you know, consciousness when we talk to you, you know, because of my experiences. I go throughout the week and I don't think about it at all. But, you know, when you're on the show, it reopens that door for me to start thinking about it again, because I kind of keep everything shut and locked during the week.
Yeah. And a lot of people have to, you know, they live an alternate life out in the quote unquote real world, and then step back into the surreal world when they have the privacy in their own thought process to examine these issues more closely. But, you know, I encourage people to abandon their fear. And the best way to abandon your fear is to embrace it as a part of who you are, but not to give it control over you. And so I speak about that very regularly, because I think that fear is stops us from living fully. And for every moment that I'm on this planet, I want to be all in.
I think the vibration, we're going tuning into a higher vibration, and I've gotten to the point, like I was talking to Jason, it's 2019 now. And yesterday was a new moon, and, you know, it's looking at really centering yourself, and like you said, Andrea, is meditating and really turning inward and finding out who are your real friends are. Who are the, are they toxic? Are the environment toxic? Is the places you visit toxic? You have that choice, and it's time, if you want to evolve and change that vibration and raise your consciousness, your vibration and conscious level, you have to make some choices. I really do. And sometimes it may not be pleasant, but I think we all know. It's just whether you want to dig deep and be honest with yourself and honest with others.
Yes, I completely agree. And it's not an easy process. It's actually one of the most difficult things that any of us will ever do. Because
it
null and voids the sameness of our lives. It null and voids the antiquated notions, and it opens new doors that can never be closed again. It's a very brave thing to do, to seek your own personal enlightenment. It really is.
Yes, and without the approval of others. It's your path.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
And the people that are going to be supporting you and be there when times are good and bad, those are your true friends. That's absolutely.
Yeah.
Words of wisdom.
Wow.
Well, we are running out of time. Thanks again. I know it's late for you and you're tired. Thanks again for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us. It's truly inspirational.
No, it's my pleasure, darling. I'm sure I'll be with you again soon. And I'll, you know, anybody that's interested in reading the book, just keep an eye on my Facebook, because believe me, the instant it goes live, it's going to be all over cyberspace. So if you want to know when it's available, yeah, all you need to do is just keep an eye on my Facebook feed, and we're good to go. I'll let you know.
Awesome.
It's always
Thank
a pleasure
you so
having
much.
You, Andrea. You're so good. It's just amazing. And just enjoy your energy and your truthfulness and just being supportive with Paranormal Horizons. I know Jason appreciate you very much, and thank you for staying up this late just so we can be on our show. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Have a good night, both of you. I love you dearly. Take care.
Take care. Thank you.
I love you too.
Okay. Love you, girl. Okay.
Bye.
Wow. Very good. It's awesome, and you know it's. It's speaking your truth, and hopefully people will understand, and being open to a different way of thinking, and it's just, I love it. That's why I love being on Paranormal Horizons. I may have to step away a little bit. Maria's taking place. I'm getting my other show on the road. We'll see how far that takes us and whether it's going to be successful as far as the longevity and how everything plays out, but yeah, I'll never leave Paranormal Horizons. I've been here for 3 years, 4 months, and you can always count on me. I'm just going to step aside a little bit so that I can concentrate on my other radio show, but I will be on Paranormal Horizons next month. So I guess I'm a first. But, yes, welcome Maria Wilson Duff. She's amazing, very good paranormal investigator, very good friend of mine, very beautiful soul, and just have her welcome to our team, and it's great to be able to share the responsibility and be able to just branch out. That's what it's all about, Jason.
Absolutely. You know, the show's been going on for a total of 5 years. For almost every week, like I said at the beginning of the show, I think this is episode 234. So,
that's wonderful. Yeah, looking forward to many more episodes with Paranormal Horizons. I really do. I just enjoy like I said many times before, you and I are like the yin yang of marriage. You're great at what you do. I'm good at what I do, and we make it perfect. So,
yeah,
and now with Maria in the picture, she's going to be a good asset to the team, and I think it's just going to work out beautifully. So, yes, I will see everybody myself. I will see everybody in the beginning of February. I'll probably be on the first show. And then have Maria kick in and help with the other shows. So, yeah, that would be awesome. And if you have any questions or any suggestions, Facebook us, and I'm sure Maria will take care of that for us.
And with that, I guess we will close it out. We hope everybody has a safe and fantastic week, and we'll see everybody next week, 8 p.m. West Coast time for episode 235.
Hey guys, thank you for all your support, and yes, I'll be there, like I said, the first Sunday of February, and yes, keep in touch, thank you, and yeah, Happy New Year, and peace.
Happy New Year. All right, good night everyone, hope everybody is safe, and let's all work at raising our consciousness. Have a good night.
Take care, bye-bye.